This is Korea 360 on Money FM 89.3, your 360 look at the manpower and labour landscape here in Singapore, your career and lifelong learning as well. Sometimes your career may have you travelling the world, living and working somewhere else other than home. It's a dream for some, not for others. Now, according to the Economist Intelligence Unit, Singapore ranked number one most expensive city to live in for expatriates. Then Mercer released its quality of living ranking recently, putting Singapore at a mere 25th place globally, even though it's the highest ranking in Asia. This begs the question, though, is there a correlation between the most expensive city to live in and quality of life? Kind of looks like no, I think. But let's get an expert opinion, yeah? Mr. Mario Ferraro is Mercer's Global Mobility Practice Leader for Asia, the Middle East, Africa and Turkey. Mario, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you. Good morning.
So why such a huge disparity, you think? One thinks money buys quality.
Intuitively, it doesn't seem to be correlated. When we look at an economy like Singapore, it has been consistently able to attract top talent from various locations. Now, the attracting talent also involves investing in infrastructure, quality housing, great availability of goods and services, very often imported goods. And all these factors, together with attracting talent that is highly qualified and well-paid, all these factors contribute to an increase in cost of living as well. I should say that despite being relatively expensive, Singapore has been consistently able to attract this top talent because of the high standard of living that it can provide, as well as other factors such as the geographic location and the ecosystem that is very conducive to having a business in Singapore, as well as the ease of doing business in Singapore. So it's not just about quality of living or cost of living, but it's really a fairly holistic picture that needs to be considered.
Beyond cost, though, what other considerations should there be when companies move their executives?
Right. From a company's perspective, obviously the availability of talent is a critical consideration, because you could have the best business strategy. Ultimately, you're going to need talent to execute it. You need to have the right skills, the right level of experience. But beyond that, you need to have a whole ecosystem and an environment, a regulatory environment, transparent, that makes it easy to do business both from a legislative perspective as well from a logistical perspective. And so Singapore has all these things in place. And these are all the factors that differentiate Singapore from many other cities and locations in the region.
Granted, there are other factors involved when one is considering or a company is considering moving their executives. Will cost factor more and more greatly in the future, you think?
Absolutely.
Because we're getting more expensive here,
sure,
in Singapore.
Sure, absolutely. Cost is obviously a consideration, and the cost of labor for many organizations is a critical concern. But perhaps even more of a concern is where am I going to find those individuals with the right skills and with the right experience? If we look at the economy of Singapore, it has been moving up the value chain consistently, also in order to differentiate itself from neighboring economies that have moved into the manufacturing or service industry, for example. And so by moving up the value chain, the economy is generating a demand for people with fairly scarce skills, very rare skills. And that, again, is driving up cost of labor, is driving up salaries and so on. So cost is a consideration, but businesses are being very careful to ensure that there is a return on that investment. And by attracting the right resources, Singapore has been very successful at staying ahead in the local context and in the regional context from other neighboring economies.
Mario, tell us more about Mercer's quality of living ranking survey. What other highlights came out of it?
Sure. Let me just explain briefly the context of this. So the quality of living surveys and research that we do helps organizations to assess objectively whether or not and to what extent they should incentivize their employees to move to a specific location. So in other words, how challenging would it be for someone to move to Singapore as opposed to, for example, Indonesia or Thailand or Vietnam or perhaps Africa, some African locations. So we needed to come up with a very objective methodology that kind of moves away from the very subjective preferences that each individual may have. The other use that this research has is really to help governments, municipalities, developers to understand where are the improvement opportunities in order to create an environment that is more conducive to attracting talent, which will then be a precondition for businesses to find the skills that they need in that particular location.
Oh, Mario, you put it so nicely. It's where countries need to improve, right, get a move on what's happening there. Where is Singapore coming out tops?
Yeah, I mean, Singapore, we all know it. Singapore has outstanding infrastructure. It has a very stable political, social environment. It has a very, very low crime rate. It is very clean, it's very safe. And it has a great availability of goods and services. And these are all the factors that has made Singapore consistently the top location in Asia in terms of quality of living. There are always areas for improvement. I think perhaps the challenge for Singapore to remain in this top position is going to be not so much to improve, because there is very little that Singapore needs to improve, quite frankly, but rather to bear in mind that there are many other locations within the region
to stay
that
competitive.
Are improving. Correct. That yep. They are improving their infrastructure, they are improving their transportation, they are controlling crime, and also they are improving their governance. And so the challenge for Singapore is more from the competition from neighboring locations rather than improving intrinsic quality of living parameters. Within our quality of living methodology, cost is not actually one of the factors, because we actually look at cost as a separate issue. It's not related necessarily to the quality of living. And in fact, for expatriates, very often the incremental cost of living in a country is actually covered by the employer. So it is not a factor that the employee usually worries about. It is, however, a factor that the employee negotiates about, right, when it comes to negotiating that contract. Singapore, we are seeing a lot of initiatives aimed at improving the infrastructure. We are seeing the transportation system being constantly upgraded. We are seeing, you know, improvements in pollution control. We are seeing a lot of improvements in many other areas, you know, availability of green spaces. There is a lot of thought given to, you know, green initiatives. And so I'm sure that Singapore is well underway to retaining that top position in Asia. And as I mentioned, the main challenge is going to be to do that fast enough to catch up with neighboring cities that are also embarking on such initiatives.
You've lived in many places, right, Mario? The yeah. UK, you're from Italy, Latin America you've lived in as well, and Scandinavia. We're okay, right, Singapore here?
Absolutely. Look, having experienced other locations and with my regional role, I travel to many other locations. And I can certainly say that Singapore is a great place to be. I myself have been here 20 years. So I have actually chosen it to be my home and out of choice. So I will certainly say that in the Asian context and in the global context, it is still a great place to be.
How are we stacking up against other cities from different regions or top cities from different regions coming out of your survey?
Yes, so Singapore is the top place, has the top place in Asia. We found in this year's survey, there are a few European and North American cities coming up top. And mainly because they are, again, very stable, there is great availability of goods and services, a great entertainment scene. Again, we are looking at this through the lens of an expat. A lot of entertainment, stable, clean, safe for families, but also well-connected to other European locations that afford a very rich cultural diversity. And so these are some of the reasons why other locations have actually come up slightly ahead of Singapore in the European or in the context of other regions. But in the Asian context, again, we see Singapore really topping everybody else.
I understand, Mario, that once the findings come out, it helps municipalities, cities, governments to figure out maybe areas of improvement. How, though, for Mercer, what happens after you find the findings? How then do you proceed? Does it dictate how you then proceed next year when you go through the next survey?
Actually, we try to be as objective as possible when we conduct a survey. So we will not let the results of a prior survey or a project that we may do for a municipality or for a client influence the outcome of the next survey. The whole point of the survey is that it has to be an objective assessment. And so the way we use this data is either to help companies decide how much to incentivize employees who need to be deployed to certain locations, or if we work with governments and municipalities, we focus very sharply on specific factors that may help that location move up the ranking or at least be more competitive. And so depending on what those factors in, we also recommend initiatives and we actually design a project for clients, for municipalities to actually start to work on improving those particular factors.
Were there surprises this year, though?
Not many surprises, to be honest. There's some locations are emerging. We are seeing some locations in China emerging quite rapidly. We've seen some slight decreases in the ranking of some European locations, notably Stockholm, because of some terrorist attacks last year. But overall, no major surprises. It tends to be this way mainly because we are very careful not to allow an isolated incident or an isolated situation change the ranking too much. In order for a score, an individual score, to be changed, it needs to be a sustained change in one of the conditions. For example, if you look at Singapore, we had a couple of years ago a period of intense haze that was prolonged for actually quite a long time. And we had to decide whether that would drive a change in the score of Singapore in terms of environmental pollution. In the end, we concluded actually it's probably not a permanent feature of Singapore. Yes, it is a recurring feature, but we made the decision that it wouldn't be fair to change the score because of that, because it is not something that an expat or even a local, for that matter, needs to live with on an ongoing basis. And so because we're looking for...
That's challenging, though, to decide whether or not certain factors should be put in.
That's right.
It's all very subjective almost, or you have to predict or extrapolate what may or may not happen.
We usually go on the assumption that, if a specific condition persists for, a number of months, 3 months, 6 months, then we assume that it has become, at least for that year, a feature of the local environment, of the local city. And that's where we typically change the score.
Mario Ferraro is Mercer's Global Mobility Practice Leader for Asia, Middle East, Africa and Turkey. You can find out more about what they do at mercer.com. That's MERCER.com. Mario, thanks so much for joining us
today.
Thank you.